guest on this episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast is Jane Blunt. She's a co-founder of Phillips Academy in Charlotte, North Carolina. Listen as she describes her vision and the steps they took to form and grow Phillips Academy. Jane, thank you so much for being on this podcast episode with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for asking me, JD. It's great to be here with you, as always.
Well, there's no secret to my affection for what you guys have created. Anybody that knows me, has been around me, has heard about Phillips, they're going to go back and they're going to see Phillips episode. I did one on Saturday, actually, that says a paddle in the hands of James. So if somebody wants to hear why I believe it's such an amazing place, it's hard to describe, but they can go back and listen to past episodes. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there. I'm going to ask you this, though. How did you create such an amazing place? When something is that good and that special, it was created from that place. I was telling a friend of mine yesterday about leadership, okay? The people that work for you are an indicator, and the product you provide is an indicator of the leadership that had the vision of either starting or growing. So you have a very unique school at Phillips Academy. How did the vision start?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Phil Blunt and myself, you know, we didn't wake up one day and say, oh boy, let's start a school. You know, I mean, that's not how it originated. Of course, our motivation was Philip, our son. And, you know, I think how we started this, we wanted Philip to have every advantage that he could. And he started out with not many advantages, challenging, you know, learning disabilities, intellectual and developmental disabilities, heart defect when he was born, you know, all of these challenges. But how we set out was what can Phillip's life look like? And that sort of that dream of a perfect, you know, pie in the sky, perfect world. And not only Phillip, but we had a lot of friends, I mean, their children who were very similar in what Phillip needed and what these other children needed to become all that they could be. So, you know, that the tagline for Phillips Academy is real learning for real life. And that was sort of our guiding principle. And then also not focusing on what Philip couldn't do, because that's all we heard, right? He'll never do this. He'll never do that. He will have no hope, no life. So we weren't going to go there, because we knew that Philip did have things that he could do and things that he wanted to do. So that's how we started. And there really was not anything once he got to middle school in Charlotte that was going to prepare him for life and prepare him to do all the things that he could do. So that was the origin of Phillips Academy.
I want to make this, when I look down, I make notes. And I want to say this. You said you didn't focus on what he couldn't do. You focused on what he can do.
Can do, yes.
Which, from what I'm hearing, there are a lot of people around you, and maybe the world was telling, whoever it was saying, here's what he is not going to be able to do. I mean, like, people were saying, here's what he's not going to be able to do. And you said, now, wait a minute, what can he do? And now Phillips Academy, so what you did was that the system, you created something that says, now what can he do? And this helped him develop those skills?
Yes. Yes. And not, you know, not waste time on, oh, this isn't going to work. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, you know, but, you know, again, not spending time on those things that aren't going to matter in the end. And, you know, Philip, it's a journey. It is a long haul with, you know, individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. That it takes a long time for them to get to where, you know, what your goals are, what you're striving for. So, you know, to just kind of spin your wheels, wasting time on those other things that we didn't have, we knew we didn't have that. So, you know, you need all of that time to develop those skills and those, you know, academic, social, all of those things take time and constant, you know, being in an environment where those things are practiced, where those things are, you know, very intentional in their presentation, and then how it ends up. And again, you know, at Phillips Academy, starting in middle school, that's where it starts. They start preparing then for what can I do? You know, they develop the soft skills for job preparedness, the social skills that allows them to be in an environment, you know, in our world, where again, they're not, you know, they're able to do what's expected of them. They know kind of what's expected of them to their best abilities. So again, it, you know, we weren't going to waste time just doing things that weren't going to help. And yeah, so that's
I want to explore that one a little bit more. And what you said, there's about three things that really stood out. One was you didn't waste time. And you said it's an adventure and experiment. So would you just try a lot of things and say, okay, it didn't work. Now we're going to move to this. Is that how, when you describe what you meant, an example of that.
So, you know, again, another big part of Phillips Academy is self-determination for our students. And so that is how they're going to succeed. If they are involved in their life plan, they get to decide what they want to do. So, you know, exposing them to those skills, those, you know, jobs, those, you know, volunteer opportunities, that's how then they will determine what they like to do and what they want to do. You know, now sometimes, you know, they're starting out and, you know, Phil wants to be a computer programmer. Okay, well, you know, maybe that exact thing isn't going to happen, but what can we do that is in that area that he might want to do? So that exposure, those opportunities, are kind of the beginning of that process. And, you know, then by the time they're in high school, they are out in the, you know, volunteering, paid employment. And then, you know, maybe they're in a job that they don't, it's not quite what they want to do. Okay, well, let's pivot, let's do something else here. But that provides them those opportunities where they're not made to, you know, this is where you have to work. This is your only opportunity. Which I think in the past, that's sort of been the case, you know, for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They've had very, very few opportunities or very few things to choose from. And, you know, oftentimes that doesn't work because they're not happy. Just like we're not going to work somewhere we don't like to work for very long. I mean, you know, we might have to, but yeah.
There I go again. I'm back to smiling so much my face hurt. There's something about what you're describing. And I did that on Saturday when I described the experience I had with Philip, with Philip and with James. Because you mentioned self-determination. So what if they don't know? What if they say, I don't really know. So what I'm hearing is you expose them to several things and then you see their interest or what lights them up or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they spend time there. I mean, you know, the students are they're out in the community. So the staff takes them to those places and they get to actually, you know, spend time and do those jobs or, you know, if it's a volunteer situation. You know, lots of our students are really, really good at sticking to a task, you know. You have this, and so, you know, something that they might not know that they enjoy, they end up really liking. But the only way for them to really know that. So conceptually, it might sound good, but when they, you know, when they're actually there, then it becomes more real and more, you know, something that they identify with and really are engaged with. So.
And then you have a support group that says, okay, that didn't seem like it went the way you'd want it to go. Now let's adjust quickly, because I keep saying, hearing you say, don't waste time. So if you expose them to several different things and they kind of determine with you guys supporting what makes, I don't know how to say it. How do you go? Oh, that's a question. How do you recognize when they are in that lane where they go, here's where, if this is it, if they don't recognize it themselves, how do you see it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the teachers do and the staff do a really good job of supporting. And so, you know, a lot of it also depends on the environment, the work environment they're in. If they see that the people they're working with are, you know, understand and are engaged with, you know, the student or the young adult in this environment, I think that, you know, the support people say, yeah, this could really work, because I think that James has the support that he needs in this environment. This person or these people get it. And, you know, that they are, he or she are part of our world. And, you know, that is something as adults, particularly, you know, it becomes very isolating once our students, young adults, are out of school. It's a very lonely, you know, existence, because there isn't a lot of support for older, you know, people. But a work environment, again, provides the social, you know, the belonging, that I am, you know, I am doing something that's benefiting something bigger than myself, which again is what we all want. And so being in a place of employment or volunteering, I think, you know, for the big picture, that just is so important. And, you know, speaking from experience with Philip, he's 32, and I mean, he's working at Charlotte Christian in the cafeteria. He preps food, he serves the students, he sees those students every day. They see him, the teachers see him, the staff, his coworkers. You know, it's a very fulfilling life. And I think that's what we want for all of our children, whether they're, you know, typical or, you know, have challenges. So that's why I think that's so important, those, you know, those skills, and just being in that environment of, yeah, what do I want to do? What do I want my life to look like? And given those opportunities, the preparedness and the support to get there. And it's different for all of them, right? Like, it's different for all of us. But they get to choose.
I keep hearing this too. This is what you're describing applies to all of us.
It does. It does. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think that's right, JD. Because when we were thinking back, what does that world look like for Philip? It's what we all want our world to look like. It's just a little bit of a different process and very intentional. So, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it makes me excited too to think about it.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm paused because of that reason, because I just keep hearing, I keep feeling this. Boy, I want that. I want that. I want that. And then I go, everyone wants that. To be able to experiment enough with a support group around you that help you determine what you were. I'm going to go one step further, and if I'm wrong, say this: what you were created to do, or what you, the lane you want to get into, and excel at, because that's what you were.
Yes, exactly.
It eliminates all the barriers and labels, and it eliminates. You just eliminated every barrier that separates the community that you serve from the rest of us. It's truth, the truth that we all want. Created it. Yeah.
It's just that takes a very, it's a different process. It's a different, you know, education, so to speak, But certainly, obviously, I mean, we didn't know that it would work, but clearly it is. You know, our students are out in the community. Our students are part of our world, and we're all better for it.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. I am going to share an example, because I want people to hear this and think about the possibilities. And I'm still trying to sort out how to leverage this one. Sorry about it, but I'm getting ready to pre-sell you. So we were selling something that the students made. And then I asked if two of them could go out and make sales calls with me. Now, I was in sales for a long time, VP of regional VP. So, I've trained people, all that kind of stuff. So before we go out, I do my, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to call on this place. And I started going, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to say. And I paused long enough. One of the students stepped up. I got to slow down on this one because it was this profound. And he gave a sales pitch on what we were selling. And it was, I just said, that's the best sales pitch I've ever heard. Heartfelt, well thought out, history behind what was being made, the sales pitch. And I just said, I told him, I said, I'm not going to say anything. And then I asked the other student, I said, okay, he's going to go into this place and he's going to do this pitch. You hold the bags and I'm not going to do anything. I'll just take the money. Jane, no kidding. He went in the place. He did the sales pitch and they were throwing cash at. They were like buying the things off. I'm not exaggerating. It was the best sales pitch I have ever heard. Yeah. And he just has a gift that seems to be, he was either believing so much in
what?
Yeah. He was believing so much in what he was selling and who was making the product, which is his fellow students.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, you know, and you've experienced this. I think when you are at Phillips Academy or you're around the students, it's that pure, you know, heart, that message. It's very clear. I mean, there's no agendas. It's very clear, very, sincere. You know, nobody is going to doubt what these students, young adults are saying because it is real. Yeah. Sometimes it's too real, but most of the time it's a good real, you know?
Yeah. It's really something else. What plans for the future? Are you guys going to have, are you thinking about more locations? Do you have?
So we are in kind of at that point. We have grown, very, again, intentionally. But we are at the place where we need more room. So we're trying to figure out what it is. What it is about, what it is that we need to do. Do we need to grow where we are? Should we be other places? Because there's a need all over Charlotte and our region. So no doubt that is going to be a big discussion for us.
Well, what can the listeners and the viewers, what can they do to help and engage with Phillips?
Yeah, I think, you know, if there's any ever a time that you can think about employing our students or giving them opportunities to come and job shadow, I think that's important. Come and visit the school. That is the best way to get to know our students and see what's going on. Always welcoming to people that want to come and tour. Go on our website. There's a lot of information there, PhillipsAcademyNC.org. Folks at the school, Deborah Hofflin, our ED, is amazing. She can, answer any questions. We have amazing teachers and staff. So it would be well worth a visit. And again, start on the website and think that you'll get a feel for some things there.
People that listen to this, you will not be disappointed at all with a visit. I that's why I'm saying you just have to go and you have to feel whether or not the students, the staff, the whole. It's one of those rare situations where you go, I think they're, in the way they make you feel, the way they treat you, they're being stamped out of the same mold. And it's a very unique and I mean, it's just really, I'm speechless at how, and the opportunities that are being created for the students. And I'm going to go back. I'm going to speak to the business owners out there, people that are listening or starting businesses or business owners. Do not forget what I said about what he did, what they did when they went out and they sold. He was self-determined. He was fitting in a place where he believed in what he was selling. He did a great job at it. And the rewards were for what we were doing is people could not get enough of the interaction with him. He was that good. And that's just one example. And there's many out of Phillips. So Jane, thank you so much. And thank you for everyone for allowing me to be. I'm happy to play whatever role I can in Phillips, big or small, or just hanging out every once in a while. It's a real blessing for me. So thank you.
Thank you, JD, for everything, all of your support all these years and having us here, having Philip, on your show. And then again, interviewing me. I really appreciate your time and all you do. Thank you for our community.
Thank you.